Well, it's lovely to see you again. I'll add my welcome to the welcome that we've already had, and lovely to come together and worship the Lord with you. We're going through the book of Romans, and today we hear that magnificent verse. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a magnificent verse. Who else here has taken strength and comfort from that verse? I certainly have. Yeah. I've had times when maybe the weight of my sin or something I have done is heavy, and I might come before the Lord and in prayer and confess, say sorry, and then remind myself there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And stand in this truth. And if it comes up again in my memory, or if I start worrying about it again, I know I have confessed. When we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and I have left it in God's hands. Or those times when someone else is judging me, or I feel judged by someone else's behaviour, I can do the same. Come before the Lord in prayer and say, is there anything in this dynamic that I need to be aware of? Is there anything that you want to speak to me about? If there is anything I feel that I have done, I need to confess that. And then know there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I am a sinner. But I am a forgiven sinner. And this is my true identity. No matter what I may say, no matter what other people say, my identity is that I am a forgiven sinner. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. What a magnificent verse. And I know this is right at the start of the sermon, but if that habit that I just described to you, if that's a habit you'd like to develop or grow in, maybe make note of that. That habit of bringing things before the Lord and then standing in that assurance, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that includes me. It's a habit we can all lean on. So we are going through the book of Romans. 2 weeks ago, I told you it was part one of a two-part message, and this is the second part. Paul starts with this magnificent phrase, and we had looked last week at the second part of Romans chapter 7, in which Paul describes this confusion, this internal conflict, what he wants to do, he doesn't do, he ends up doing the bad thing that he doesn't want to do. And he concludes, some other agent must be at work. Because I am wanting, desiring, the core of my being is wanting to do what's right. So this battle means there's something else going on. And he calls that the sinful nature or the flesh. He also concludes that this power is too strong for him. He needs to be rescued. And then says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And then goes off and talks about a whole lot of other things before coming back again to this. That in the spirit, we have life. This is where he's heading today. God has saved us in the past tense. God is saving us in the present tense. We're going to come to that today as well. So Romans chapter 8, our passage today, thank you Joanne for reading it, starts with this magnificent phrase, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And one of the things they teach you at Bible college, whenever you see a therefore, you need to ask what it is there for. Why is the therefore there? Why is Paul so convinced that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? And some of that is what we've seen in the previous 7 chapters. No one is righteous before God. No one manages to get things right all the time. God in his grace has provided a way for us, which we receive through faith. And Paul has given a number of pictures of this, that As with baptism, we identify with Jesus in his death, dying to that old way. How much more will God identify us with Jesus' life, the resurrection life? Just as Adam, that description in Genesis of a person whose disobedience led to death, now we're in Christ, whose obedience leads to life. We have had a change of allegiance. And Paul sums up and says, now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This weight of seven chapters is coming to bear on this phrase. And then Paul goes on to give his most famous picture of salvation. We might call it the judicial metaphor, the picture of a judge. And we had a cartoon a little while ago. Hopefully you can see two shots from that cartoon. In Romans 8, Joanne has just read for us, our own human strength could not fulfill God's righteous law. So God sent his son to live as a human, and Jesus lived a perfectly righteous life. God placed on Jesus the judgment for all our failings. So Paul has been using the word flesh in two ways. One here, physicality, but he's also been using it to mean the sinful nature, the thing that pulls us awry. And he combines this here quite cleverly. He says, so sin was condemned in the flesh. Literally, in the body of Jesus, sin was condemned. In explaining this cartoon, here is the judge, and it was his friend who's convicted of a crime. Because of justice, he had to say there must be a penalty. You've stolen something. Money needs to be repaid. But then the judge hopped down from the stand, wrote a check, and paid for the penalty for the person who had done wrong. This is the picture Paul gives us here. God is a judge. He's a righteous judge. He believes in right treatment of all people. Injustice is wrong. It harms people. He cares. But sinful nature, the flesh, has done so much that's wrong. It needs judgment. So God sends his own son to come, take that judgment in the flesh. Experience it in his body. And then we are invited to identify with Jesus in his death and resurrection through baptism. And when we come to Jesus and acknowledge him as Lord, he takes our life into him. Which means the wrong that we've been done is already condemned. It's been condemned in his flesh. There's no condemnation for us because the sinful nature has already been condemned in Jesus. Can we see that? Our life is taken into Jesus as we give him his life. He takes it. And then because we're taken into Jesus, the sinful nature has already been condemned. It's been dealt with. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In exchange, God gives us the righteousness of Christ. It's an unimaginable exchange. Everything we've done wrong in exchange for everything that Christ has done right. Unimaginable generosity. And it doesn't end there. There is more going on. When our life is taken into Christ and Christ takes us into himself, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus comes and dwells within us. Our life is joined with Jesus' life. And Paul explains more in this passage, as Joanne has read. This Spirit that comes and dwells in us, the Holy Spirit, this is the powerful Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. This is a Spirit of resurrection life. And if this powerful spirit is within us, this is bringing us resurrection life. Not just forgiveness of sins, not just no condemnation, but resurrection life dwelling in us. Some people think that the Christian message is about we live this life and then we die and join God in eternal life. The timing is wrong. We receive God's eternal life when we receive Jesus as Lord. And the Spirit dwells within us, and from that point on, this marvelous, powerful life is at work in us. And Paul describes that in this passage. Your mortal bodies are perishing, but the Spirit is giving you life. Life has begun from the moment of receiving Jesus as Lord. And then that's not all. Even that's not all. What a generous God. Because Paul still refers again through this passage to that battle of the flesh leading people to think upon, dwell upon, focus on, set their purpose upon. Your passage, your verse might have set your minds upon. It's about setting your purpose upon. There are people who set their purpose upon the things of the sinful nature because they're trapped in that. See, but you're not there. Your life is in Christ. The Spirit is dwelling within you, helping you. And that battle, that internal struggle that Paul described, that he wanted to do right and then he didn't end up doing it and he ends up doing the wrong that he didn't want to do. He said, there's another agent at work. It's too strong for me. I can't get it right. Now Paul says, and there's someone else again. There's not just the power of the sinful nature. There is the power of the Holy Spirit who is with you to help you. Powerful enough to overcome death itself and powerful enough to help you in that wrestling with the sinful nature. Three things, three gifts all at once here. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because your life has been taken into Christ and sin has already been condemned in Christ. No condemnation left for you. It's been dealt with. Second thing, there's a gift of life, eternal life forming in you. This perishing mortal life, the decay, there's something else. You've been given a gift of eternal life in the Spirit when you receive Christ as Lord. And the third thing, by the Spirit we receive help overcoming the sinful nature because God has saved us from sin and God is saving us from the sinful nature. Past tense, present tense. Okay, at this point I have got a diagram for you which I've included in the newsletter because it summarises... It's going off the top of the screen nearly. It summarises 8 chapters of Romans in one diagram. And Romans, many of us find it very wordy. And so here with very few words at all, we have a summary of all that's going on in the first 8 chapters of Romans. So I'll talk you through it. Along the bottom axis here, I used to be a physics teacher. Along the bottom axis here is time. So this is going forward in time that way. Down the vertical axis, this is moral rightness or holiness. Instead of starting at the bottom and working up, we're starting at the top. This is holiness. This is where God is, at perfection, at infinity, if you're a mathematician. And sometimes you might remember from primary school, you have a little break in the graph to say that, well, there's a big gap here. The break in this graph is at the top because there's a big break between God's standards and anything that we deal with down here. So we've got these two axes, time, righteousness. And then this little wiggly line is the life of a person. And it's going up and down. Sometimes they get things better and sometimes the things are worse. There's a battle between their best intent and their sinful nature. And then we come to the time of the first cross, which is when someone gives their life to the Lord. Says Jesus, I'm sorry for all the ways that I have offended you or done wrong in my whole life. Please forgive me. I name you as my Lord and I accept your forgiveness. At this point, this amazing thing happens, that from then on it is just as if I've never sinned. Justified is the word there. From then on, the person is seen by God as being righteous, the righteousness of Christ. It's the first thing we mentioned. From then on, God sees the person as having this righteousness of Christ. There is no condemnation. In God's books, there is no condemnation. But Paul describes the living of life still has ups and downs. Still has this sense of his will is to do what is right and the sinful nature is pulling him down. There are still ups and downs. Anyone who has lived the Christian walk for very long knows this. There are still ups and downs. But now there's someone else to help us. We're not dealing with this on our own. So that over time, these ups and downs are tracking upwards. This is called sanctification, the purpose of being made holy. To sanctify something is to make it holy. This is the present tense of our salvation. There is a future tense. The second cross here on the time axis is death or Christ's return, when Jesus comes to fulfill all that he has started. Then it goes up. Yes, someone's saying it goes straight. Then Paul describes in the later part of Romans 8 where what the good work that Christ started in you will be brought to completion on the day of Christ Jesus. The work that God has begun will be completed in the way God sees you and the way you are will be brought to one thing. You will be fully freed from the sinful nature. What a relief. There's a lot in that diagram, so I'm just going to give you a moment to pause and digest and let your eye wander over it and see what you notice. We have life in the Spirit. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you if you've received Jesus as your Lord. Two weeks ago, last message on this, I said we all have an upper room, that redeemed self that Jesus is building in us, and a lower room or a basement. And Jesus invites us to live in the upper room with him and we can invite the Holy Spirit to tidy up the basement. The Spirit is with us, transforming us. We don't have to tidy things up ourselves or on our own strength. The good news of the gospel is not just past tense that we have been saved. There's a present tense. God is saving us and helping us. And there's a future tense. That'll be next week. For now, the Spirit lives with us and is helping us, strengthening, furnishing the upper room. As for the basement, it is destined for destruction. One day that basement will be destroyed. It's good news too. Rather a relief. But I do just want to ask you, how does that make you feel? When you hear that the basement, and you're comfortable with the metaphor, am I right in that? The basement's the sinful nature, all those things that go wrong. If I say your basement is one day going to be destroyed, how does that make you feel? Just notice how that sits with you. do want to ask, are there any little things that stick in your mind when you think of the basement being destroyed? But what about that? Augustine, the great, amazing 4th century theologian, he lived in North Africa. He had a remarkable mind and an incredible way with words. He lived quite a hedonistic life before he became a Christian and a monk. And as a monk, he said the phrase, "O Lord, grant me chastity, but not yet." He sums up the dynamic sometimes that we feel in this battle. He sums it up so well. Is there anything in the basement that you maybe need to let go of more fully? Because the basement is destined to destruction. It's such good news. One day we will be fully free of that. Good news, the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit is given as a gift to any who would receive him. And that's the proper language. We don't say it. It's not Star Wars. It's not the Force. The Holy Spirit is a person of the Trinity, and we use human pronouns. For anyone who would receive the Spirit of God, we receive the gift of life at work in us, and help as we pray in overcoming, and the gift of Jesus' forgiveness and freedom from sin. Everything in our benefit, only our pride to lose. What is God saying to you today? There are three questions come to mind. One, is there anything in the basement you're still holding on to? Take the opportunity to acknowledge that before God. Sometimes, we're all in the same boat. Sometimes I have prayed the prayer, "Lord, give me a desire for your righteousness. Change my desire so I no longer desire something that's actually, your word tells me, is unhealthy for me. Give me a desire for what is right." If there's anything in the basement that you're holding on to, what steps might you take? Prayer is going to be part of this. And if this is new to you, I sincerely recommend finding a gentle, trustworthy person you could talk to who will help guide you through it. This process of saying, "Lord, I am sorry. I relinquish this thing to you. Your word tells me it's not good. It feels like it's good, but it's not. Give me a desire for what is right. I confess my mistakes and ask, Holy Spirit, that you help me." It's the first question. Second, right at the start, do you want to receive the invitation to remember there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? That little pattern, that kind of pattern of thought and prayer that I described at the start, is it a pattern you want to take up, a habit that you want to take up? It's a gift for you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We get to stand in our identity in Christ. My third question today is that we've talked about the Holy Spirit. Would you like to commit your life to Jesus and receive God's Holy Spirit, who loves you and is with you and for you, who is the power of life for you, who can bring salvation from the past, transformation in the present, hope for the future, and be with you that you don't live this life alone. Is that something you would like to do? Is that something that the Lord is calling you to do? We are going to spend some time in prayer, and I'll go through the first two points, and I will also, with the third one, give an opportunity if anyone would like to respond in some way. Because if we want to make this decision here, everything is stacked in our favour. All we have to lose is our pride. But there is a point where we need to make a decision. Let's pray.